the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
So this evening in the Dáil, TDs are going to debate a piece of legislation that's been tabled by Sinn Féin, which the party says would kickstart preparations for a border poll on Irish reunification. We're joined by the leader of Sinn Féin, Mary Lou MacDonald. Thank you very much for joining us, Mary Lou. Tell us, please, just what's in this particular bill?
So the bill itself is actually very straightforward, Matt, and it builds on work that has already been done here in the Oireachtas. Just to let your listeners know, about 2 years ago now, the Joint Committee on the Good Friday Agreement did a piece of work about reunification, all of the processes, the potential of it, and they made a series of recommendations, including the need for a government green paper, a green paper being like a high-level, all of department analysis and all of agency analysis of where things are at, the milestones, the challenges, the questions that arise in respect of the transition from partition to unity. So there was a joint recommendation signed up to by all parties that this green paper was needed now. And on the back of that green paper, that citizens' assemblies would be convened to ensure that all sectors of our society, communities of our society, indeed all political persuasions, became part and parcel of this process now of preparation. So our legislation reiterates those two core pieces of work that need to get done. And the legislation, if passed, would mean that government would bring forward this green paper within 18 months. And then once the green paper was published, that they would go about the business of convening the Citizens' Assembly. And the overriding rationale behind all of this, Matt, is that we are now approaching the 30th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. As your listeners will know, referendums on the issue of the border, on the issue of reunification, are the beating heart of that agreement. There will be referendums. It's only a question of when. And the bigger question for us is, will we be equipped to have an informed process, an informed debate? Will we be equipped to have an orderly process? Because what I wish to see is planning for our future together, for a new deal for Ireland in a way that is democratic and collaborative, fully informed, fully peaceful, of course. And for that to happen, we have to be prepared. And I would be concerned, and I know these concerns are shared by others across politics here and outside of politics, that if there were to be a preemptive move by a government in London to call the referendums, and you could not rule that out, what then for all of us? There isn't now a world in which the lack of preparation, the refusal to have the conversations, to invite all of the perspectives, to roll up our sleeves together and get the work done. There isn't an excuse now for government not to do that. So that's the sum total of the legislation. It is novel in that legislation has never, of this nature, has never come before the Dáil, but I'm absolutely convinced that the time is right. I think, in fact, there's now something of an urgency for government here in Dublin to actually get the ball rolling. And I also want to say this to your listeners, being fully prepared does not preempt the outcome or the democratic verdict of the Irish people when referendums come to pass. But I think we have to be sure that we have an informed process and that when the question is put, that people have their eyes wide open, that we've had the discussions, that we have the spade work done, that we've listened to all perspectives, that we've had the agreements, the disagreements, and the democratic space, north, south, east and west, to actually talk those things out as a society and as an island nation.
Okay, just a few things arising from that, Mary Lou. In particularly the Citizens' Assembly. Would that be, we've had citizens' assemblies which have been very useful in preparing ourselves for referendums in the past or for change legislation. But in this case, this citizens' assembly, would it be a 32 county assembly? How would you manage to persuade unionists or loyalists to get involved in a 32 county assembly?
Well, it would be, of course, by definition, it would have to be a 32 county assembly. You do it in the same way, Matt, as occurred when Brexit came to pass and when we were all united in common purposes to protect the interests of Ireland, to make sure that our peace deal wasn't undermined, that there was no hardening of the border. I'm sure you remember all of that passage of play. And I remember at that time, the then Taoiseach of Fine Gael, Taoiseach Enda Kenny, was bringing together a forum on Brexit. And his initial instinct that it would only be a 26-county forum, we pressed upon him the need for it to be an all-island entity. In fairness, he eventually saw the logic of that. And when that forum was up and running, plenty of unionist people came to it. I mean, the Alliance Party as a political party came, and the other political parties didn't engage. But unionists were there as farmers, as hauliers, as business people. And I can tell you this with absolute certainty. If the government in Dublin doesn't do its work, and if the green paper isn't presented, if the spade work isn't done, if the assembly isn't called, well, then you're not going to have the type and the depth of engagement that we need with people across the board, including the Protestant, Unionist and Loyalist communities, many of whom already, Matt, in different formats, are engaging in this debate, and some of whom have been very, very clear in saying to us in politics, and particularly to those in government in Dublin, to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, that they want this conversation to be underway. We had a fascinating presentation here in the Oireachtas about 4 or 5 weeks ago. It was a panel from Ireland's Future, that big civic organisation that I'm sure you're familiar with. But the panel was entirely composed of people from the Protestant, Unionist and Loyalist community. And to be honest with you, they made, to my ear, what might have been the most compelling argument for preparation, for dialogue, for collaboration, to inform the process of change that's now underway on our island. And, you know, there will be no prizes for anybody who buries their head in the sand. The needs of this country are so great, socially, economically, in terms of our infrastructure, and of course, the need absolutely to maintain democratic institutions that function and function well and serve us all, and to protect our peace and to keep driving forward that journey towards reconciliation. And preparation is about all of those things, involving, by the way, everybody. This isn't a Sinn Féin thing. This is an Ireland thing. This is about this nation and all everybody who lives here and who calls Ireland home.
The Good Friday Agreement allows for the Northern Secretary to call a referendum in the North if he or she thinks there's a reasonable chance of it being successful. Why do you think it's inevitable that this is going to come relatively soon? What do you see in the circumstances of British politics which would persuade you of that?
I think a number of things. I think firstly, if you look to British politics, maybe more correctly stated English politics, you see that the rupture and the chaos that followed Brexit is still very much in play. That's not in the rear view mirror by any manner or means. It's 10 years since Brexit, and we're about to see the 7th British Prime Minister just in that 10-year period. I think that reflects the level of churn and some oftentimes chaos at Westminster. I think anybody looking to the elections in Scotland and Wales can't miss the fact that for the first time now ever, there is a pro-independence First Minister in Scotland and in Wales. And of course, my colleague Michelle O'Neill leads the executive in the North. I think if you look to the kind of the demographic patterns and trends all across the island, but specifically in the North, if you look at polling data, it tells us that in the South, and we had this confirmed again at the weekend, there is now a working majority. The figures tell us for reunification. North of the border, we're not at that point yet, but the direction of travel is absolutely unmissable. And listen, if I were talking to you 10 years ago And I had said to you that there would be a nationalist, that there would be a Republican first minister in that office. You would have said you would have arched your eyebrows and wondered if that could ever be true, bearing in mind that the North was established to ensure that that could never, ever happen. That's how partition was drawn. But it did. And that's the profound nature of change that's happening. And I'd like to say this as well, Matt, like, sometimes this question of reunification of a new Ireland is couched in terms of like threat or loss. I see it only through the prism of opportunity. The opportunities for us to start again, to get things right, the opportunities for our economy and the opportunity for our young people, for our children, for their children, for the next generations to come, to have an Ireland in which things are planned, in which things work, an Ireland at peace with itself, an Ireland in which the British identity of those of us who are British is always recognised and is vindicated and validated here, but also in Britain. And we need to engage the British government on that. All of these are huge things. We can show in Ireland how you really resolve conflict and how you really bring a peace process home. And I think that is just tremendous. I think we have an absolute responsibility, all of us, women and men of this generation, to actually be the ones that plan correctly in a thoughtful, collaborative, orderly, efficient way to make that happen and still maintain stability, cordiality and build friendships.
One last thing. If there was to be a referendum, if one is called in the North, simultaneously one will be called in the South. If the referendum is passed by the narrowest of majorities in the North, if even 50.1%, then it is carried. Is there not a danger, though, in a narrow margin that you would not have significant buy-in? It goes ahead anyway, you would have a united Ireland, but you would have an enormously disaffected population, and that we then could have a decade or more of chaos in the way that the British have had because of the narrow decision to exit the European Union.
The democratic standard for constitutional change or not is 50% plus one. That's the democratic established norm, and we should not under any circumstances stray from that. And the Good Friday Agreement is very, very clear on that matter. But let me say this to your question. I think the danger of disengagement, the danger of disgruntlement and disenfranchisement arises from a failure to plan. The course of action that I am proposing now is that the government here blow the whistle, begin the preparations, do the very detailed work in preparing a green paper. On the back of that detailed deep dive work, convene the Citizens' Assembly, invest the time, invest the space, listen to people, give people the opportunity to engage. That is the best way. In fact, I am convinced that is the only way that you can underpin an orderly process, because the democratic nature of this decision is, yes, defined by people going to the ballot box and making their mark, yes or no, one way or the other. Of course, that's the ultimate democratic action. But there's a democratic imperative beyond that. And it begins now. It's the imperative of recognising the fact that these referendums are provided for, that they will happen, and actually showing people the respect to have that engagement and giving that space. And there has been enormous amounts of work done already by the Aaron's Project, by the ESRI, by the University of Notre Dame, DCU. I could list IBEC, you could go on and on and on. There has been no end of work already done, no end of conversations and thinking and queries raised and dilemmas identified. Okay. What we have not had is a space for that to land, and it needs to land. And I really hope that Fianna Fáil in particular, and their leader and Fine Gael and colleagues beyond that, all of whom over the last weeks have been privately really, really supportive and see just the good sense of this. I really hope that there can be a collegiate approach, that we can pass this legislation and then in a collaborative way, just roll up our sleeves and get the work done. This is a question now of nation and Ireland before party. This is joint work and we need to get to it.
Mary Lou McDonald, leader of Sinn Féin, thank you.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.